I'm going to do a brief lesson here, and I'm going to do just a little short lesson, just a little overview. Maybe this will turn into a sermon someday. But we're going to do a little overview of the phrase, the day of the Lord, as I was talking about it today. And I just want to read some Old Testament scriptures to give you a little bit of an idea here. In Isaiah, it happens four times. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship and work the work of their own hands, that which their fingers have made. People bow down, and each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. Enter into the rock, hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. And it continues with that kind of language. Here he's talking about what's going to happen to the house of Jacob, Israel, because they haven't obeyed God, and that's going to happen to them. If I go a little further down, chapter 13, a few chapters later, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. From the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened from its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make mortal more rare than fine gold, and a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. He's not talking about the end of time here. He's talking about God coming to a nation that had disobeyed and punishment. You see the same thing. You see the same thing in Ezekiel. You see the same thing in Joel. You see the same thing in Zechariah and Obadiah and Malachi. You see it all through. So there's a metaphor of the day of the Lord in these verses. That's about the day of the Lord is going to happen to you in your country because of what's going on here. And he uses, there's a lot of language that sounds like the whole universe is ending, right? The stars are falling from the sky. There's not going to be anything but fire and burning tar pits. And he's talking about Babylon. In that case, he's talking about Babylon. Babylon still is there. Not a city anymore. Nobody lives there. The Babylonians are gone. But those of you who have spent time in Iraq probably were, you know, in the vicinity of where that place was. You might argue it probably is a few burning tar pits laying around down there. But it's not the end of the world. But there is an end of the world. The scripture tells us very plainly what's going to happen. We read it in Thessalonians. We're going to read it in Peter that says the heavens and the earth are going to be rolled up, burned away, burned up, and a new heavens and a new earth will be there. And that all men are going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and books will be opened. And we're going to be judged according to what we've done in the books. It doesn't say just the unrighteous. It says all men, small and great, are standing before God. But then it says another book is opened, which is the book of life. And everyone whose name is written in that book gets to be with God forever and eternity. How do you get in that book? That's the thing you got to do. Get your name in the book. You know what the Bible tells us how you get your name in the book? If you were in the Old Testament, you could have your name written in the book of life. You know how you could? By following God and keeping his commandments. And loving him with your whole heart, like we read about David. In the New Testament, you want your name in the book of life? You obey the gospel. We just read in Thessalonians, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. What is that? You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to believe it so much you're willing to say it out loud. And you have to go into the waters of baptism and let that old person die and meet Christ there. Obey the pattern of that doctrine and be raised to walk in newness of life. And then you have to walk in the light. You have to walk every day. Just because, you know, when you're baptized, it's a wonderful thing. You're born into the family of God. You're a Christian. Your sins are washed away. And then the next day happens. And you got to get up and make a choice that day. Am I going to still be God's person? Am I still going to obey God? Am I still going to seek him with my whole heart every day for the rest of your life? We just had a wonderful event this last Sunday where we baptized J.C. Pritchard, who we had been meeting with. We got to know him from the singing that we did at Fairhaven. And he said, you know, I believe in God. And, you know, I was told I got saved years ago, but I haven't been baptized for the remission of my sins. And so he said he wanted to get it done and do it right. And we did. So that's the invitation. If you need to get your name written in the book, if you want to make sure that you've done everything right by God, then this is the time to do it. You have the opportunity. You can do it tonight. If you're already a Christian, we all struggle. We need help from each other. Help share your burdens so we can help bear one another's burdens. Help us. Let us know about it. We'll pray with you, and we'll see if we can serve. So we'll go ahead and end there. If anyone has any needs, they can come forward as we stand and sing.